Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us here this evening on New Visions Radio. It's 7 p.m. Sunday, August 6th, and it's really a blessing to be here, isn't
it?
Yes, it
is.
And, you know, last week we had a program, and we've had this series of programs going in the book of Romans.
Right.
And it's been really interesting. Last week, we talked about how Jesus would set us free.
Yes.
And we're going to continue on that theme this
yes.
week. And so before we get started, though, you know, we're always grateful that Ray Powers has given us this hour each week here on New Visions Radio. It's really a blessing.
We actually got a chance to talk to him just a few minutes online about a week ago.
Yeah, we did. It was an unfortunate thing, but we did. We got to see him and chat with him for a few minutes. We actually were there for a funeral service
yes.
that we got to meet him. But Ray's a lot of fun. He's quite the character, as you all know, if you're tuning in on New Visions Radio. Mm. But, you know, he's a spiritual man, too.
Yes.
You know, he has a belief in God and his son. And I hope that most of you that are tuning in here are learning about the Bible as we go through.
Right.
And maybe learning things that you've never known before.
Yeah.
But we're really grateful to be a part of this New Visions Radio family. And Ed, would you tell the listeners a little bit about Prophecies of Hope?
Sure. We are a non-denominational fellowship in Stanton, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
at 1743 West Beverly Street. And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 that we do make available via Zoom online.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet for church on Saturday, the Sabbath.
Yes, that's right.
And we have a Bible study at 9:30 and then our church service at 11. And right now there's also been going on a Bible study on Monday evenings, which is studying the sanctuary of the Bible.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a really interesting topic. I won't go into it.
Right.
But it's so interesting when you recognize that sanctuary that God asked Moses to build in the Old Testament, that was a replica of the one that's in heaven.
Yes.
And so many Christians, they understand that there was a sanctuary, but we missed, all of my life, Ed, I missed the fact that there was a heavenly sanctuary.
Right.
And that's where Jesus is today. And that's where his Father is. They're
right.
in the heavenly sanctuary.
Right.
So what a beautiful message. And so we've been going through that very methodically. And also, we have a website.
Yes.
Prophecyhope.com. And if you go to that website, you can find many of the radio programs archived there. You'll find a lot of sermons there. You'll find some newsletters from times past. I have been very gradually working on a newsletter. You'll find all of the Bible series that we've done.
Speaking of, we have a Bible series coming up in September.
That's right, September this year, 2023. And that's September, and it's easy because this is the year 2023 when we're broadcasting this. It's September 20th through the 23rd,
right.
2023.
And that's going to be streamed live.
Yes, it will be live streamed. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And also, we have a guest speaker who has been here before, and he's been on this radio program a couple of times,
right.
and that's Jason Hovey. And we're going to try to get him in the studio with
That'd
us
be great.
While
yeah.
he's here. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a matter of having the time and if he can hang out with us through the time period when we do this program. But Jason has a very interesting history of witnessing to the Muslim folks
yeah.
and preaching the Lord Jesus to Muslims. That's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And, you know, everybody needs to come to know our Lord Jesus Christ because of which we can be saved, isn't
right.
it? So I think, what about contacting you, Ed, if somebody wants to contact
If someone
you?
Wants to contact me, they can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
There you go. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. I see what you mean when you say at Mark at
yeah.
or at Ed at.
And just to be clear, our ministry is Prophecies of Hope,
right.
but our email is prophecy.
Yeah.
Hope.
Years ago when we did this, started this ministry, we couldn't get that particular domain name.
Yeah.
So we had to go with prophecyhope.com.
Yeah.
And it's also .org. Either one will work.
Okay.
I think that's all of the pretty much business we have to do.
Right. Yeah.
So, Ed, would you pray for us so we could start this
sure.
Bible study?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're just grateful for this time we can come together to open your word and to study it. As we are studying the book of Romans here, Father, it tells us so much about the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through your Son, this great gift that you've given us. Father, as we open your word, we just ask for wisdom and understanding that we can apply these things to our lives and to have you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, you know, I mentioned at the outset here that last week we actually entitled that program, Jesus Will Set You Free from Sin.
Right.
And right before we started the broadcast, I mentioned to you that I really appreciated that you took us to Philippians chapter 3.
Okay.
And if we can go back there just for a moment, and I just want to, where should I start? Verse 12?
I would start in verse 8.
Verse 8. Did you want to read that or did you want me to read it?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it.
All right. I'll read that. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Because remember what we're talking about. Jesus will set you free from sin. And it says here, yet indeed I also count all things that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through him, through faith of Christ, in righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead, which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind.
You know, the history of Paul, who previously was known as Saul in Acts, is that of persecuting the church.
Yes, it is.
And yet he's saying, you know, I believe in Christ. Mm. He is my hope for salvation. But I'm still working towards that.
Right.
I'm still pressing on. I'm forgetting all those things in the past, things that I wish I hadn't done,
mm-hmm.
lives, the way I live my life, I wish I hadn't lived it, and I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God.
Amen. And this is, I wanted to touch on this, Ed, because I wanted to take us back here, because so many times, and I'm going to speak from my own experience.
Okay.
I will, from time to time, something will come up in my life that will remind me of some of the things that I've done in the past.
Yeah.
And I get really sad. And it really bothers me. And sometimes it really brings me down.
Yeah.
And I realize, wait a minute. I'm not doing those things anymore by the power that Christ has given me to overcome those things.
Yes.
Why am I dwelling on that? You know, I think it's, I'm sorry that I ever did those things, and I think that's what's happening. But that the devil wants you to continue to dwell on those things.
Mm-hmm.
But this is saying, forget those things,
right,
which were in your past. Move forward from here. Learn from those mistakes,
yes,
to not go back and do it again.
Yes.
Right? And learn to allow Christ in your heart. This is something that, for me personally, it doesn't happen daily, but it happens more often than I think it should, that something will present itself to me, and I'll think, I used to do that.
Yeah.
I was right there. I know what this person is going through. And last week we talked about the fact that Christ, being our mediator, he went through the same type of temptations that you and I,
yes,
go through. So he knows how to help us to overcome.
Yes.
That's the beauty of what we're talking about in this gospel. This is what Paul is recognizing.
Yes, he knows that Christ has had a human experience here on this earth. Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in all ways like we were, but yet without sin.
Mm.
And so Christ has the experience that he can provide us to help us overcome our difficulties, our sin in our lives.
Yeah. You've mentioned it a number of times, and you mentioned it last week, and I don't think this can be overstated, that Christ has had the human experience. So he speaks the language of God because he was with the Father from eternity past, right? He was the begotten Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
So he understands things. He has experienced something that the Father hasn't experienced.
Right.
So what better intercessor or mediator can we have? And Romans 8 kind of goes there, doesn't it? We're going to get to that.
Right. It also talks about what you're talking about, hope.
Mm.
The hope that we have in knowing the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The hope that we have in the knowledge of his gift on the sacrifice of his life on the cross.
Yeah.
And now the gift of his Spirit that God sends into our hearts.
Yeah, so we're going to learn about this either in the weeks to come.
Yes.
We're going to be considering these things. So where are we? That's kind of a review,
yeah.
I guess.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8,
okay.
And let's read verses 12 through 17.
All right. Are you reading that? Or
yeah, I'm going to go ahead and read
please.
This. This is the modern King James Version. It says, "Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die." Is that pretty plain?
It is.
"But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are the children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, so that if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." Now, just a little review. It's talking about if we're led by the Spirit of God. If we look just the few verses before, we can find in Romans 8, 9, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us." Remember that Christ is our mediator. Unless we have the Spirit of Christ, we can't have the Spirit of God in our hearts and minds.
That's true.
So here in Romans 8, 12 through 17, it's talking about if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What does your Bible use in terms of that word mortify?
Yeah, because sometimes we'll say, "I was mortified." Yeah. Mine says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Yeah, this word mortify in the Strong's interpretation of the Greek word is to literally to kill,
right?
Become dead, put to death, mortify.
Yeah, so if you think about it, if you are mortal, being mortified, you die. But
right.
If you are immortal, you will never die.
So right? If you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, you put to death that old way of life.
Yes. You whatever sin that I have, I need to put it to death and accept the Spirit of Christ. And how do I do it? Not by my own strength.
Right.
But by the power that Christ gives me.
Right. And you know, we've already been over Romans 6 that mm-hmm. talks about that he who is baptized into Christ is baptized into Christ's death, putting that old man of sin away.
Yes.
Dying to sin.
Being born again.
Being born again with a new life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about here still.
Amen. It's a beautiful thing. And you know, it's, I think, you know, we've talked about how Paul, and we see this as we read through his writings, he understood this probably better than any Bible writer I've ever read. And I think what happens is many times we look and say, how do I get to that point? And that's what he is answering for us.
Can I give you an example from the Bible about this?
Please.
Let's go to Psalms 51.
Okay.
I think you're probably familiar with that chapter, Mark.
Yes, I am.
If anybody knows the story of David, King David, in the Old Testament, David was the king of Israel, and he made a huge mistake. He committed adultery and then caused this woman's husband to be put to death. And here is his talking to God about this issue. And let's pay attention to what he says. Mark, can you read verses 1 through 19 for us?
This is really, I would say, a confession.
Yes.
Isn't it?
This is coming to God for help in his time of need.
And this, so what you're showing us is this is what we can do.
Yes.
Right? So this is Psalm 51. Where do you want me to start?
Verse 1.
And through?
19.
Okay, so we're reading the whole chapter here. So it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar."
This is his confession. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Then in verse 11, ask God, "Don't cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." He's asking for a change of heart.
Yeah. And then he says, if you do these things in me, look at verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways. I'll take this gospel and spread it to others."
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
He's going to preach the gospel. He says, "And sinners shall be converted to you."
Yes.
That's what this is all about, conversion, right? Changing.
Yes.
Getting rid of the old ways. And then once we learn those things, the desires in our heart, we will be so filled with joy that we can't keep it to ourselves. And that's what David is experiencing here.
Yeah. Let me take you to Galatians 5. 22 through 25. We talk about this a lot, but I want to go here again. The results of having a new spirit. Renew within me a right spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we will live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Mm. Same thing that Paul is saying here in Romans 8 that we've been reading.
It is. It's exactly the same thing. This is what he means when he says to not live in the flesh,
right,
but live in the Spirit.
Yeah.
This is exactly what he's talking about. So I'm so glad that you took us back there to Psalm 51.
Yes.
And, you know, it's amazing, Ed, when we do these programs, so many times I get sermon ideas.
Yeah.
So now I've got a sermon idea.
All right. Let me take you to another text here.
Okay.
It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1.
All right.
And we're going to be reading verses, I think, 13 through 25. And again, we're talking about conversion here. And Peter is talking about this in verses 13 through 25. So if you could read that for us, Mark.
Sure. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, this is from the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you."
This is basically, again, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we're saved with the precious blood of Christ. That's a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are changed through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. Having been born again.
Right.
Reference to baptism. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living Word of God, abiding forever. Mm. Again, the hope isn't in ourselves and our own ability to change. It's in the hope that we've been given in the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
It is.
Who has a human experience, who overcame sin, and is now has the Spirit of Christ sent into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," that He can help us to overcome sin in our lives and to bring us the presence of His Father.
Yes. You know, the message has been the same from the beginning, Ed.
Yes.
From the beginning of the Bible to the end, the message has not changed. God wants His people to be holy so that He can dwell among them. He made the sanctuary in the Old Testament because He wanted to be among them. And here, in Christ Jesus, we can literally be among Him. In the future, we'll meet Him face to face. So when it says here, "Be holy, for I am holy," in verse 16, it's quoting from Leviticus. It's quoting from the Old Testament. Yeah. And so this means, and we've talked about this so often, that there has to be a change in me. I can't continue to live doing the things that I want to do as a carnal man and expect to be in the kingdom of God. So many times as Christians we'll say, oh, I believe that Jesus came and died and was resurrected and lives again for me. But does our lifestyle show it?
What about the change?
What about the difference? And friends, I can't state that enough, because so many times, I mentioned this just a week or so ago, that I have a study with someone that said, why is it that Christians seem to be the most hypocritical people? It's because we profess Christ, but we don't want to live in Christ.
Yes.
We don't want to change. I'm guilty of that. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that. So I want to be changed. I want what David prayed for, what we just read in Psalm 51.
And knowing that I can't do it of myself.
That we have to recognize that.
It's only through the power of Christ that this can be accomplished in my life.
Amen. And recognizing that I have a problem.
Yes.
I have to do that. That because I'm a sinner, I need Jesus.
Right. When we look at Romans 8:14, it goes on to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hmm. So let's look at what does it mean to be a son of God.
That would be a great
thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 43 through 48. And of course, Matthew 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. And listen to what Jesus says here. And he's quoting the Old Testament in some of this, mm-hmm. starting with verse 43, modern King James Version. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun, the sun in the sky, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? But if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Mm. So, in the first part of the scripture that I just read, it talks about the behavior of the sons of God. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. This is becoming the Son of God. This is only available to us through Christ living in us.
So it shows that there has to be a change in my attitude.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the Christian church about being sons of God, but the sons of God are doing the will of God.
They have the character of God.
That's it. And if they don't, then they're not sons of God. You know, Jesus called the Pharisees, you're sons of your father, the devil.
Yes.
Right? So they were not sons of God, even though they were doing the work of the priesthood. They were leading the people.
Think about this. You're going to be somebody's son. It's either going to be God's son or Satan's son.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's no fence to sit on,
right.
Is there? You're either on one side or the other. And, you know,
even if you seem religious.
That's true.
The Pharisees.
I remember one time I heard somebody say this, and it was, I don't remember if it was a preacher or if it was somebody just ministering to someone. But they said, you know, a lot of people like to sit on the fence, spiritually speaking.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, the problem is, if there's a fence there, God has removed that by sending Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fence. He is the way to the life. There's no fence. If there's a fence, that's because the devil has put that up. And whenever somebody puts up a fence, it's always on their property.
Mm.
You
yeah.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if the devil's put up the fence and I'm sitting on it, where am I? I'm in his territory.
Yeah.
That's a good illustration, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that when I heard that many years ago. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And if I'm there, I'm not on the fence.
Let me go ahead and read verses 12 through 15 of Romans 8.
Okay.
It says, "Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father." That Abba, Father, adoption. Doesn't Galatians mention that? Galatians 4?
It does mention that. It surely does.
Can we go there? Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7?
4 through 7. All right. Yeah, let's go there. So, you know, I want you to notice that. I want the listener in particular to notice that what you just read there in Romans, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God."
Yeah.
So it shows that if I'm a son, I'm going to be doing the will of the Father.
Yes.
So where, I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk and turn my Bible there. Here, I've got two Bibles, so I'll go to this one. It's already open.
Galatians 4. Verses 4 through 7.
All right. Are you reading or am I reading?
Go ahead and you read that.
All right. So this is Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." There's that word. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ."
So Romans 8:15 says, "But you have received the Spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father."
Mm.
That's the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
It's through Christ that we're adopted as sons.
Yeah, and it says if you are no longer a slave to what?
Sin.
There you go.
Because Christ sets us free.
Amen.
If the Son of God sets us free, we'll be free indeed.
Indeed. Yeah. What a beautiful study, huh?
Yeah.
When we learn these things. So I guess we have to determine, who do I want as my father?
Right.
Right? Do I want to be a son or a daughter of God, depending on who we are? And we're all considered sons and daughters of God if we're doing the will of God.
You know, this often brings people to a time of decision.
Mm.
If I want to follow God, then my wants, my desires, what I think is important in life will change.
Mm.
And I'll be giving up things that I thought I needed in my life, things that are actually hurtful to people, hurtful to myself, hurtful to God, sin,
yeah,
being disobedient to God. Those things will start going out of my life.
They will. And you know, some people might look and say, "I don't know that I could ever give this or that up.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could ever get to that point."
You know, let's face it, we often have addiction to things.
We do.
We think there's value in things that we do. That's the only way I can be happy, by doing whatever. Take your choice, whether it's having an immoral relationship,
right?
Whether it's being addicted to narcotics, to drugs, to stealing, to lying, to whatever,
yeah,
gossip, whatever.
Sure.
You know, but we need to realize those things are harmful to us. They hurt us as well as others around us.
You know, Ed, I this is something that might seem kind of silly to some, but, you know, the words that we choose, the words that we use can reflect who we are.
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever shared this on the air, but I'm just going to give a little testimony, if that's all right. Many years ago, before I knew the Lord, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him, didn't have a relationship with him. And I had a terrible, filthy mouth, and I would say things that no one should ever say. And it was such a habit that I didn't think I'd ever be able to overcome it. And I even told a friend of mine, every time I get mad, every time I do, I get so mad, and I just, it just starts coming out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And he says, keep praying about it. And you just keep following the things that you see in God's word. And he says, one day you won't even realize it. It'll be gone. And I laughed at him. I literally laughed at him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long after that. I don't remember the time period, but I was working on a car and I was driving a kingpin out of a, I was using a kingpin to drive a ball joint out of a control arm. Uh-huh. I worked on cars, right? Yeah. And when I brought that big, it was about an 8-pound hammer. When I brought it down, it popped off of that kingpin and hit my wrist.
Yeah.
And it cut my arm. And I was jumping up and down and hooting and hollering. And one of the guys that worked with me at that time said, you didn't even say a cuss word. I can't believe it. And I looked at him. I said, I didn't, did I? And I realized at that moment that because of what Jesus had done in my life,
yeah,
I had overcome that.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he even told me, I'll never forget that brother telling me, the day will come that you won't even think those things.
Yeah.
And I never thought I would be there, but I don't even think them.
It's so the power of Christ living in you.
It's an amazing thing. And yeah, and people who, if people are listening to this and you have a habit of using bad language, you might say, there's no way you won't even think it. But I'm telling you,
yeah,
give it time. Pray about it.
Yeah.
You won't even think it.
Spend time with God in His Word. Spend
yes,
time with Him in prayer. Look and watch and observe things that are happening in your life and see how God is leading you in your life.
Amen. And that goes, friends, that goes for any vice
yes,
that you have. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how large or how small that obstacle may seem.
Right.
You can overcome it by the power that Christ gives you.
Yes. Yes.
So that's just a little personal testimony of mine. And, you know, a lot of people that know me today say, well, I can... You know, they say, I see you're kind of fiery, but I can't imagine you saying those things. And
yeah,
and I say, I'm glad. I'm
yeah,
glad.
Praise
I don't want
God,
people to imagine me saying yeah, those things because I don't want to say them.
Right.
So where were we? We were there in Romans 8, weren't we?
Yes. Now, let's read verses 16 and 17 again okay, in Romans 8. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so that if we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified with Him.
That's awesome.
Jesus is the Son of God. He's the rightful heir of
yes,
everything God has. But here it says that we can be adopted into the family of God.
Yeah.
And to be an heir with Christ.
Amen.
That we can receive the things that God has given him.
The blessings, yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. And I think we don't personalize this a lot of times.
I don't think we truly understand what it means to be a son of God, to have God as our Father.
Yeah. Yeah, we think of everything as earthly
yeah,
and in the world that we've grown up in. But this is something beyond our imagination, I think.
Can I share a text with you?
Please.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
And Mark, if you could read verses 3 through 10.
Sure. Ephesians 1 and verses 3 through 10. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him.
So verse 5, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, we've become sons of God because of what Christ has done for us and through Christ.
Sure. And I want to make this clear. It doesn't mean that he has determined our destiny.
He doesn't take away our choice.
He doesn't take away our choice.
This is God's desire, that everyone be saved, yet we have to be willing to want the same thing and to accept this gift, a gift that we can't earn, that we can't reimburse God for.
Right.
It's just a free gift.
And when this says predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, it's saying he gives that opportunity to everyone who chooses it. It's there for the taking if you want it. And here's the thing. I think everybody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we get there? It's not by our own means.
Right.
It's by accepting Christ and living according to the life of Christ.
Yes.
Again, there is change involved. And I'm going to tell you, I hate change.
Yeah.
I do. I like a routine. And so for me to start this Christian walk, it's a big deal. And I think it's big for everybody. And it's not always easy, especially at first.
Mark, you had and still have a desire to follow God's will in your life.
Absolutely.
And when you first discovered through interaction with others and reading God's word that, hey, I am not really doing what God wants me to do, that required a big change in your life.
It can be a painful time in your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always easy. And I think, you know, look, Christ endured a cross.
Yes.
That wasn't easy.
No.
Look at what he did.
Yeah.
And he did that to give us the opportunity. He did that so we wouldn't have to.
Yes.
Right? And so it's just, I don't know, when you think of the love that Christ had and has and that his Father has for you, it compels us to want to do their will.
Yeah, you just remind me of a couple of verses in Hebrews 12.
Okay, yeah, let's go there.
Verses 1 and 2. This is the modern King James Version again. It says, therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm. What a beautiful text.
Despising the shame. You know, in Romans 8:17, which we just read, if we're our children, then we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so that if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Mm. There's some suffering, maybe, that we may experience in our life because we choose to follow Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, for example, there might be a certain lifestyle that we are used to, and we may like that lifestyle. We may have to let those things go. We may have loved ones or friends that see us begin to make those changes, and they don't like the new person.
Right.
And you know someone that has gone through that.
Yes.
Even though the person was cleaning up their life, their friend said, no, we like the old person better.
Yes. Yeah.
What a test that is. You know, that was a trial.
Yes.
And when we have those trials and those times come, we can pray and ask God for a measure of his Spirit to help us to overcome those things. And don't ever underestimate the power of prayer through this process.
Right.
We have to keep that relationship going.
You know, those verses we just read in Hebrews 12, Christ suffered greatly on this earth.
More than we can imagine.
But he had faith in the promise of his Father that through his death, everyone had the opportunity for eternal life because of his suffering.
Right.
And he knew this beforehand. And so it talks about the joy that he perceived that would happen after he endured the cross. He did that willingly.
Mm-hmm. He did. You know, really, when you think about that, not only did he want to do the will of the Father, but he wanted to save humanity. What an incentive.
Yes.
You know, and think about that. What incentive do we have? Well, first of all, we can clean up our lives today.
That'll make our life better on this earth.
It absolutely does.
Yes.
You know, that promise is given not only for now, it helps us now, but for eternity.
Right.
And we get to meet the Father, the one who sent his Son. Mm-hmm. We get to meet the Son and spend eternity with them. What a blessing that is. No pain, no sorrow, no hurting.
Right.
No hospitals. Nothing like what we're used to.
You know, when the Bible talks about being honest about what the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
We also need to be honest about our lives and what's in our heart. To take the time and really inventory your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and your behavior. And it can be a painful thing to do that.
It can.
But recognize that God knows these things about you.
Yeah.
And in spite of those things, he loved you.
Yeah.
So much that he sent his Son.
Amen.
Who on this earth that you know, if they knew those things that were in your heart, would they love you with that kind of love? Mm.
I don't know of anyone. And in fact, Jesus did this for everyone, even those who persecuted him.
Love your enemies.
Yeah. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I don't know that. I couldn't say that.
Yeah, I don't think I could either.
I couldn't do it. You know, it just shows how much he depended on his Father and how much he and his Father love you as an individual. And when I say that, Ed, you know, I hope that people that are listening, you know, we're not just pointing the finger at each other here. When we say you, we're talking about you, the listener.
Yes.
Jesus loves you
personally,
whatever your name is, whoever you are. Jesus died for you.
Yes.
And I don't think that really sinks in to people's minds. They think, well, he only died for the ones that are doing good. He only died for the Christian. Well, if I'm only doing good and I'm not sinning, I don't need Jesus.
Yeah.
And I don't know of one who doesn't.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You know, let me just read Romans 8, 18 and 19.
Okay.
And we just were talking about suffering, and this continues to talk about that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, often when we choose Christ, the change that occurs in our lives sometimes brings suffering, like you were talking about, friends and family, maybe the loss of a job, maybe change in income, maybe for our betterment, the change from addictions, but yet we lose some of our friends or associates because we decide not to do those things anymore. Sometimes that involves suffering. It also can involve persecution from people that mock you.
Mm.
That don't believe in God and think you're foolish.
Yeah.
That can involve those things.
It surely can.
But Paul says, they're nothing compared to the coming glory to be revealed in us. You know, it doesn't say to us, but it says in us.
Mm.
For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. To have your life show that Christ is living in you.
Mm. That's a beautiful thing.
Can I go to a text?
Please.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like to have you read Mark verses 7 through 11.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11.
Got that right here. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh."
It's talking about dying to self, dying to sin, dying to that old man of sin, that old way of life, so that the life of Christ can be made manifest in our bodies.
You know,
it says in our mortal flesh.
Yes.
So when Paul talks about, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, it's through Jesus Christ that this occurs.
Amen. And, you know, again, I want to make sure that the listener, so many people think, well, once I'm born again, once I accept Jesus, it's smooth sailing.
Oh, no.
Now, you know, Ed, you're a physical therapist.
Yes.
And sometimes people come to you maybe after they've had some procedure or maybe they're having some issues, and the therapy that you give them might be more painful sometimes than what they've had to go through. But what happens as a result of going through that process?
They usually get better.
Yeah, as long as they're doing those exercises.
You reminded me of a story I want to tell.
Okay.
Years and years ago in Michigan, I was working with a lady who was a rather large lady. She came in with back pain.
Mm.
And through a series of exercises, we were able to not only control her pain, but give her relief from her pain.
Wow.
And I also gave her some instructions about how to move, how to lift, posture that would help prevent this pain from coming back again. Well, about a year later, she came back.
Okay.
She spent a good part of an afternoon bent over at the waist, legs straight, planting flowers.
Really?
And her back pain came back. This position she was in was one I told her to avoid.
Ah, okay.
Unfortunately, the second time of therapy, I couldn't get rid of the back pain for her. And I don't know what eventually happened in terms of what her physician decided to do. But because she didn't follow my directions.
Right.
She had to live with pain. It came back again.
Right.
The same thing in the Christian life.
That's true.
We can experience Christ and the beauty and the joy of knowing Him. But if we don't follow Him and His instructions, we can end right back where we started.
It's so true. It's so true. I remember I had some back issues, and the doctor told me that actually he said, "Don't do these things." Well, something happened one day, and I did what she did.
Yeah.
I ended up with the problem again, and he said, "What did I tell you?" And so ever since that last visit, I haven't done those things, and wow, I feel so much better. Well, so when God gives us His commandments, when He gives us a list of things and says, "These are the things that I expect of you," if we simply do them,
right,
life is so much better. It just follow the doctor's instructions, right? Follow the Creator. He knows us better than we can.
Let me give you another story. This was from another therapist who I saw. She's very healthy, extremely athletic, does a lot of exercise. And she was involved in some kind of stretching, yoga class or something. And she was doing some things that was causing her problems. Mm. And so through a series of evaluation and trial and error, we discovered this. So I told her, "Don't do these things." Mm. And you know what? She got better.
Yeah. Amazingly, huh?
Just because it's exercise doesn't mean it's necessarily good for you if that exercise is causing a problem for your body.
Very true.
We need to be careful with spiritual things as well. Just because somebody says this is spiritual, compare it to what God's Word says. Make sure it's good for you.
Yes. You know, it reminded me, I went back and I looked at Galatians 5 while you were sharing that. And I, growing up the way that I did, I was always, this expression was used, you exercise the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
You exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Make it a part of your daily routine, mm-hmm. just like exercising. And these things will become, they'll become natural. You know, you form habits. I want to form good habits,
yes.
not bad habits. So, you know, what a beautiful study, you know, that going through these things. Where did we stop, Ed? We started
in verse 19.
Romans 8:19. Yes. Friends, I just want to encourage you to, you know, try. I know that some of you listen weekly, but take time, if you would, during the week and open your Bible and read it. Just even if it's just a passage. If you just pick up right where we left off and read the rest of Romans chapter 8, and then next week we'll pick up and we'll go there. We want to encourage people to read their Bibles daily if you can. And that's part of that healthy routine, that exercise.
Relationship with the Father and His Son.
Amen. Yes. So, believe it or not, we are out of time.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead, and if it's all right, Ed, we'll have a closing prayer.
Sounds good.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word, the Bible, and just reading through these things and seeing how the Apostle Paul, who you used in a mighty way to write these things for our benefit, Father, how we see the human side of him and how he struggled, and then also we see how your Son came and gave his life for us. Please, Father, help us to live according to your word. Help us to exercise these fruits of the Spirit, that we can leave the flesh behind and live according to your word. Father, help us to remember that throughout this new week, and we just ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks again. It's always a good study. I'm always encouraged each week. And friends, I hope you're encouraged as well. If you catch us here on New Visions Radio, we should be here 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.